quote, "All sentient beings desire happiness and do not desire misery. Think deeply about how, in this beginningless cycle of existence, there is not one sentient being who has not been my friend and relative hundreds of times. Therefore, since there is no ground for being attached to some and hating others, I shall develop a mind of equanimity toward all sentient beings. Begin the meditation on equanimity by thinking of a neutral person, and then consider people who are friends and foes." End of quote. We are not isolated entities disconnected from each other. The happiness and suffering of other beings affect us. This mutual relation is obvious. Sentient beings have been kind and have benefited us directly and indirectly throughout beginningless time. In order to actualize a state of mind that regards everyone equally, at times it can be more effective to meditate on particular individuals. Visualize three individuals. One who has done us harm in this life, our enemy. One who has benefited us directly, our friend. And one who has neither harmed nor benefited us, a stranger. When we examine the mind's usual automatic response, we note that regarding the enemy, the mind thinks, "This is my foe." It becomes irritated and resentful or hateful. Thinking about the friend, the mind feels relaxed and comfortable. Toward the stranger, there is neither irritation nor feelings of delight. The next step is to look for the reasons for these types of responses. The reasons are, in fact, superficial and based on narrow, self-serving attitudes. We are attached to friends and relatives because of the temporary benefit they have brought us in this life. We hate our enemies because of some harm they have inflicted on us. People are not our friends from birth, but become so due to circumstances. Neither were our enemies born hostile. In the course of our lives, our best friend today can turn out to be our worst enemy tomorrow. For these reasons, our animosity toward enemies and attachment toward friends merely exhibits a narrow-minded attitude that can only see some temporary and fleeting advantage. On the contrary, when we view things from a broader perspective with more far-sightedness, equanimity will dawn in our minds, enabling us to see the futility of hostility and clinging desire. When, through prolonged meditation, we are able to equalize our feelings toward those three individuals, the friend, foe, and stranger, gradually extend the scope of the meditation to our neighbors, our fellow citizens, and our compatriots. Eventually, we extend the meditation to include all the beings in the world. Starting with specific individuals is an effective way to develop perfect equanimity. If we initially meditate on a vast number of beings, our practice of equanimity may appear to be fairly sound. But when we are confronted by specific individuals, we will realize how little ground we have gained. For this reason, the technique of gradually expanding the scope of our meditation is praised and recommended by many masters of the past.